I hope my voice is going to hold because I was shouting my lungs out here in the front. He is worthy. I just want to read us a portion of scripture. I was just reminded as we were singing that it's out of Revelation 5, and it says, "Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it. And one of the elders said to me, 'Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals.' And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood you have ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God. And they shall reign on the earth.' Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads and myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all of that is in them, saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to him, to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshipped." This is the Jesus who we serve. The one who is worthy of worship. The one who is worthy of adoration. That by his blood, none of us in this room have, maybe here and there, but actually we don't have much in common. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different circumstances. In our country, we come from a different racial background that has certain implications. And yet, we can sit here this morning and say that we are brothers and sisters, that we are one. What a beautiful work the Lord Jesus has done. That every tribe, every nation, every single person on this earth was made in the image of God and was made for him. And the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross has purchased salvation for each and every person. And so, as we remember that and as we sing that, let us realize that his blood is able to save every single person, anyone. You may be trusting for a family member to get saved. You may be thinking of a brother, sister, father, mother. And I say to you that no one is out of reach from the grace of God to save and to touch. And he is worthy of every nation. Amen. So what I'm going to be sharing on this morning is still in the vein of fan versus follower. It seems like we're doing a 3-month or a 4-month series. But I'm hoping that as you see week in, week out, us talking about this, is that we see this as something that's really important and something that we need to get right as his people. Amen? Oh, one amen. Or would you prefer to say ouch? So this morning I'm going to be speaking about being a fan versus a follower. And the title of my sermon is Obedience to the Holy Spirit. Obedience to the Holy Spirit. I like that. Acts 5 verse 27 to 32. And if you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to open it up. You know, sometimes we get so used to looking at screens and we forget how to find the books in the Bible. And we start looking for revelation in the Old Testament. So if you have your Bible, you're welcome to open it to Acts chapter 5, verse 27 to 32. And it says the following, "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, We strictly charged you not to teach in this name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostle answered, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And this is the key verse that I want to focus on this morning. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. And so I want to say that at the core of the gospel, at the core of being a believer, is a call to obedience. And fan versus follower is just, it's not just a nice slogan that we thought out and thought that we're going to speak on a Sunday, but it's actually the essence of what it means to be a Christian, is to follow Jesus. And I want to say, I want to make a bold statement in saying that you haven't received a true knowledge of Christ if your walk with God has not been marked by obedience to him. I'll say that again. You haven't received a true knowledge of Christ if your walk with God has not been marked by obedience to him. In this world that we live in a consumerist culture, right? Everyone is just getting or wanting what they want, right? So they join certain churches because they feel comfortable with what the guy is preaching in the front, or they feel comfortable and they like the worship. And so when we look at the culture, it's all about what can I get out of it? What can I receive out of it? And the follower of Jesus is not about what can we get out of it, but it's about following him regardless. And last week we spoke about suffering and its role in our lives as followers of Jesus. But it's not about what we can get out, but it's what we can give and how we can follow Jesus better. And so when we say that obedience is a key part of the Christian walk, in some churches and some circles, that would offend people. Because they've been so comforted in the fact that they can stay as they are and Jesus will still accept them. And the message of the gospel is not just put your faith in Jesus. The message of the gospel is repent and put your faith in Jesus. There's a turning away from your old life, turning away from sin and the things that offend God, and turning towards him and following him faithfully in obedience. So this morning I want to speak about the person of the Holy Spirit and particularly how we follow the Holy Spirit. Now, if I have to ask a question and say, who of us believes that the Holy Spirit is a person and not a thing or a force? Maybe you can raise your hand. So we believe that the Holy Spirit is a person and not a force. It is not like on Star Wars, you know, where you like put your hands out and miraculous things happen. That's not the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a force, he's a person. But sometimes, even in our following and our understanding, although most of us raised our hands, for some of us in how we approach and relate to the Holy Spirit, we treat him like a force and not a person. We treat him like a fan and not a follower. And I want to show us that this morning. But let us first ground some theological truth into who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And as I said, he's not an impersonal force, but he is God. And that's important for us to recognize. The Holy Spirit is God. He's not lesser than the Father. He's not lesser than the Son. They are co-equal. God, as revealed in the Bible, is one and eternally exists in three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is what we believe as the Trinity. From what we see above, this means each person within the Trinity, this is important, each person within the Trinity shares the same divine attributes. Does that make sense? Each person in the Trinity shares the same divine attributes. In other words, one person within the Trinity is not more God than the other. Although the way that they relate to one another is always in a posture of humility, in that the Holy Spirit will always aim to honor Jesus. And Jesus will always aim to bring honor to the Father. There is a beautiful submission within the Holy Trinity. That is something for us to look upon and to marvel and to enjoy. That is what we will do in eternity, is we will enjoy the fellowship and the unity within the Trinity. We are actually invited into this beautiful harmony that exists within the Trinity. And if you think about that, you could meditate on that for the rest of your life. Us, the church, are called into this beautiful harmony. The Holy Spirit is called God. In Acts 5, verse 3 to 4, it says, but Peter said, and this is in the New Testament, but Peter says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. So in the first part of that scripture, he's saying you have lied to the Holy Spirit. And then he also says you have lied to God, saying that the Holy Spirit and God are the same. He's not lesser than the Father. He's not lesser than God. He is God. The Holy Spirit is God. And so this morning, what I want to do is we're going to read through a couple of scriptures. And what I want to do is I want to, in a sense, pick up a mirror this morning. And I want you to look into the mirror. You know, sometimes we come to read the Word, and the Word ends up reading us. And we need to allow the Word to read us. So I want you to open up your heart this morning, that as we look through these scriptures and as we touch on these points, that you would ask yourself, is there evidence of my obedience to the Holy Spirit? Okay. So the first thing that the Holy Spirit accomplishes in our lives, and the first area that we assess ourselves on, is that the Holy Spirit makes us look more like Jesus. He is called the Holy Spirit, and therefore with Him in our lives, we will reach a place where we become more holy. We look more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit produces a Christ-like holiness in us. He will convict us of sin and lead us to become more like Jesus. Galatians 5, verse 16 to 26, it says, and the title of this portion of Scripture says, keep in step with the Spirit. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Wow. I warn you as I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That in itself is a test for you to look at yourself. I look at that, and sometimes I see fits of anger, fits of rage. Right? And we sometimes just sweep it under the carpet. Am I the only one? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, and what that means when it says if we live by the Spirit, if we have been born again through the Holy Spirit, if we are alive by the power of the Holy Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. And so the question is, are you looking more like Him? Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in your life? Your attitude, your actions, the desires of your heart, are they being transformed more and more towards Christ's desires? If you have been made alive by the Holy Spirit at regeneration, when you are born again, it's the work of the Spirit. Let us then not just be born and then just lie there and never grow up. There is a call for us as Christians to mature. And how we mature is that we are not just made alive by the Spirit, but we also keep in step with the Spirit. When last have you asked the Holy Spirit to guide your steps? Or do we just live throughout the day unaware of His nearness? The Holy Spirit is our helper. But sometimes we live like we do not need that help. And so this is the first thing that I want to put up for us. Are we walking in step with the Holy Spirit? He makes us look more like Jesus. Number two, we can never get away from this beautiful, it's almost like these two things are two sides of the same coin. They always go together in Scripture. It's that we discussed now our vertical walk with God, but there's always a horizontal aspect that comes with a vertical aspect. And so the second thing that the Holy Spirit does in our lives, and this is sometimes the more tricky one and the more difficult one, is He gives us a love for His people. Here's the second thing that we look at ourselves and ask ourselves, is there an active growing for the love of the church, the local body? Do you love the saints? Does it excite you to gather with God's people? Now, sometimes it's not easy. But is there a growing desire? Is there a growing love for God's people? Romans 5, verse 3 to 5, it says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. We had this scripture last week. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The love that God gives into our heart is not just so that we can feel warm and fuzzy. It's not just so we can be the church and stay at home. There's the way that God has created us is that we are called to be together. And that the love that He pours into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit is made to be lived out. And this put on display and be active in and amongst us. By this they will know that you are my disciples. It's your love for one another. So ask yourself, do I love the saints? And I'll take it a step further on the back of Derek's sermon a couple of weeks ago. Do I like the saints? Do I actually like the saints? Those ones, the people that you sometimes want to avoid because it's awkward when you have conversations with them. Is the Lord increasingly showing you a part of them that's beautiful so that you don't just love them but also like them? This is what the Holy Spirit is producing within us. It's a love for His people. Number three, it's not just that He empowers us to love. He also empowers us to edify the church through spiritual gifts. And Modus will chat next week about tongues specifically. And we saw that beautifully put on display this morning with a public tongue. A public tongue that was so that all of us could be edified. So the Holy Spirit works through us in the form of spiritual gifts that He gives to us so that we can empower the common good of the church. This means that we receive spiritual gifts for building up the church and to serve others. 1 Peter 4 verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied gifts. I'm not going to go through this, but 1 Corinthians 12, you can go and read it. It speaks about the various gifts that are given to us as God's people. And so the question I want to ask, and something that you need to go and ask yourself, are you serving? You're serving behind the sound desk or being an overseer. It's not just a physical act, but it's actually a reflection of your heart's posture in allowing the Holy Spirit to use you in the church. Are you bringing your gift so that the whole church is edified and encouraged? Or are you a spectator? If you don't know by now, this congregation is not a spectator like congregation. And actually, I believe that God is taking the church into a season when no saint can afford to be a spectator. Because we see the things going on around us in the world. And yes, although there is the fact that the world will grow increasingly dark, there's also the fact that there will be an increasingly abundance of people getting saved. So if only 30% of us are modeling what Christianity looks like and 70% of us are coming to spectate, what type of church would Jesus be coming back for? And so I want to call all of us, if you do not know, then go on a journey. Ask those around you to help you identify what your gift is. And then bring that gift. Come and lay your life down for the greater good, that we would look like the church that Jesus died for. Growing into a mature man. It's not just that 30% of us become mature in Christ. It's that all of us will grow into maturity in Jesus. And that even though we can come into Wellington and say, wow, this congregation has a great culture of worship, we do not judge it by the 40% that jump and go crazy. Our health in worship is determined by how all of us worship. And so the call is, are you laying down your gift at the altar, so to speak, that God would use you? And I want to say, and I say this respectfully and with grace in my heart, that I think for some of us, we need to get over ourselves, get over our personality, and allow the Lord to use us and walk in that which He has called you for. None of us, the elders, cannot walk in the calling that God has for you. It's only you that can take by the horns and say, Lord, I'm going to lay my life down for what You have called me for. And sometimes that call is not easy. Are you willing to lay down your life so that the church can be edified? Is the Holy Spirit working that in you? Imagine Paul being called, and you can go and read this in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit and Jesus speaks to one of the guys that Paul is going to after he's blinded on the road of Damascus. And God's calling for Paul is, I will show him how much he must suffer on my behalf. That is the calling for Paul. And if he could walk in that call, how much more can we walk in the area of the prophetic? How much more can we walk in the area of preaching? Some of you need to preach. How much more can we walk in the area of evangelism? In worship? This is the call for us as we are being led by the Holy Spirit, is that we are constantly giving ourselves so that the greater good, the body, can be edified. Number four, He gives us power to witness to the lost. This is the work of the Spirit. He empowers us to be witnesses. Acts 1 verse 6 to 8, it says, so when they had come together, they asked Him, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And so the Holy Spirit's aim in glorifying Jesus is fulfilled by Him enabling, guiding, and empowering our proclamation of the gospel. And this is another test for us. Are you preaching the gospel to the lost? And when last have you witnessed to an unbeliever? This is a tough one. Because it's comfortable for us to just gather in our holy huddle where we can use words like justification and sanctification and come Holy Spirit. When last have we got out there into the world where we encounter swear words and where we encounter the drunk and where we encounter those who blaspheme God? We are not just called to be a church that sits comfortably within these four walls or in the homes on a Wednesday. The Lord has placed you in an area of influence, whether it's your workplace, whether it's your school, whether it's your place where you're studying. And our call as followers of Jesus, as the Holy Spirit leads us, is to preach the gospel. That signs and wonders will follow us as we preach the gospel. The signs and wonders of healing is not just so that the church can walk out of here with a whole body. It's also to accompany the gospel as we go out and preach in the power of the Holy Spirit to those who are lost. And so I want to ask us, when lost have we preached the gospel? And I think sometimes, you know, we don't preach the gospel not because of a lack of cool tools on how to evangelize. Sometimes we don't preach the gospel because the reality of what the gospel is hasn't penetrated our hearts. If you are in love with the message of the gospel, it will flow out from you. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart to go out and reach the lost. And so these are the four things that I want us to keep up in front of ourselves. Number one, the Holy Spirit is making us look more like Jesus. Are we increasingly looking more like Him? Number two, do we love the people of God? And for that fact, do we love all men, all creation, all women? Number three, empowers us to edify the church through spiritual gifts. Are we giving ourselves, or are we just spectating? And number four, He empowers us to go and preach the gospel. And as I was preparing, I came across this passage of scripture that for me illustrates the difference between a follower and a fan of Jesus or the Holy Spirit. And as I said in the beginning, that sometimes we say the Holy Spirit is a person, He's not a force. And then in our actions, we contradict that belief. And this person in Acts chapter 8, verse 9 to 25, Simon the magician, shows that actually he believes that the Holy Spirit is a force and not a person to be followed. And so I want to, as I read this, as I land, look to see whether you in any way have approached the Holy Spirit in this way. Listen to this. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. So he's a celebrity, right? He's famous. But when they believed Philip, as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued with Philip, and seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. He's a fan. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit, then they laid their hands. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Do you see the difference? They referred to them to the Holy Spirit as He, for He had not yet fallen on any of them, verse 16. But Simon refers to the Holy Spirit as a power. And Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent therefore of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that if possible the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you said may come upon me." Now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. So it's clear from this passage that Simon thought that the Holy Spirit was just a power that he could obtain through natural means, through money. And yes, we may look at Simon and say, yes, how can he do that? But by implication, when we do not lay our lives down in submission to the Holy Spirit as a person, then we are no different to Simon. If we believe that we can only have the gifts of the Spirit so that we can come and look good in front of others, or so that we can see signs and wonders, but never follow the Holy Spirit when there are difficult things that He asks of us, to love one another, to bring our spiritual gifts, to reach out to the lost, then we are no different to Simon the magician. We are no different in treating the Holy Spirit as a force. And then we are no follower of the Holy Spirit. We are a fan. And so, I think this morning, it has already been a golden thread of submission. And so my call for all of us this morning is that we once again, afresh, become aware of the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That He has been given to us as the helper. And that to try to do our Christian walk without Him is pointless. And that we will grow tired, we will grow weary if we do not rely on the strength that the Holy Spirit provides for us as we walk. And so maybe we can close our eyes. I want to pray for us. And the first area that I want to pray for is maybe you have in your heart, as I was going through this, reading through the scriptures, you recognize that you have been treating the Holy Spirit as a force and not as a person to relate to. One who has emotions, who has a will, who has intellect. That we have treated the Holy Spirit as one to be ignored, as a lesser than version of God. And if that's you, I want to ask you to just repent in your heart before the Lord this morning. And I want you to be bold enough to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I want you to show me your nearness in my daily life, in my daily walk. Show me your nearness, Holy Spirit. And then the second group of us, maybe we recognize Him as a person, but we realize that we have not always been obedient to the Holy Spirit in what He has asked us. Maybe even now you are reminded of something the Holy Spirit has asked you to do even this morning that you have not done. For some of us, we go around the same mountains and wonder why there is no breakthrough. It's because we have maybe not been obedient to what the Holy Spirit has asked of us. And so I want to pray for us this morning that we would really have submitted hearts before Him. That when He speaks, we will follow. So Holy Spirit, we honor You as God, as the one given to us as our inheritance, as our helper. And Holy Spirit, I pray that in our walk with You, that we would not disregard Your voice. I pray, Lord, that You would open up our ears to hear You as You speak to us, Holy Spirit. Maybe there's some of us this morning that you doubt whether you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would speak clearly. I thank You that You speak. As we read Your word, Holy Spirit, You are the one that makes the words come alive. You are the one that reminds us of what Jesus has taught. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that as we do life, that we would be aware of Your voice in our walk with You, Holy Spirit. Come, make us sensitive to Your voice. And Lord, I pray that You won't just make us sensitive to Your voice, Lord. But I pray, God, that we would be obedient to when You speak, God. Lord, that we really be obedient when you speak, Lord. Regardless of what you may ask of us, God, that we would really be obedient as followers of what you ask of us, Lord, in Jesus' name. And then for the last group, maybe as I'm speaking this morning, you have no idea what the Holy Spirit is or who the Holy Spirit is. You've never heard of the Holy Spirit. You do not have an intimate walk with Jesus. The word says that the Holy Spirit was given to those who obey the gospel. And so I want to say this morning, if you have never heard the gospel, if you have never surrendered your life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then this is the opportunity this morning, that as we sang, He is worthy of all nations, that the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary has purchased salvation for every tribe and every tongue, that there's nothing that you have done that can disqualify you from the grace that is available if you put your faith and trust in Him, if you repent and believe in Jesus this morning. So if there's anyone there like that this morning, where you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, and you want to do that this morning, in this moment as I'm speaking, your heart is beating fast, and you feel like there's a magnifying glass on top of your head, then I believe that's the Holy Spirit that's convicting you, knocking on your heart this morning. So if that's you, would you just raise your hand and allow me to pray for you?